The good news is finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to our program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. I'm Vic Batista, along with my co-host, Nathan Jones, and we are with Lamb Lion Ministries. And it's a pleasure to have every one of you joining us today. For those of you that are new to our program, we thank you for being part of it. And we also invite you to open your Bibles with us and follow along as we have some amazing teaching prepared for you today that we have titled, King Jesus in the Millennium. So we want you to stay tuned for that. And those of you that follow us on social media, again, share this program with your friends and family so they can follow along with us as well. But before we continue, I'm going to ask my co-host, Nathan Jones, if he will open us up with a word of prayer.
Lord Jesus, we rejoice in what we're going to be studying today, your millennial kingdom, your victory. Lord, we're so excited about it. Pray, Lord, you just open up the scriptures to us so we will understand it better and, of course, understand you better. Thank you for all who've tuned in, Lord. We pray a blessing upon their lives and upon this discussion. In your precious name, amen.
Amen. Again, you're tuned into Truth Will Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. Again, the topic for our message is King Jesus in the Millennium. So we encourage you to stay tuned. But before we continue, I'm going to welcome my co-host of the program, Nathan Jones. Nate, it's great to have you on again. And you are Nathan Jones, the guy with hair. I'm Vic, the guy without hair.
But you could also say you're probably the better looking one, right? You look like a Latin lover, whereas I'm just the short, squat guy.
Well, I don't know about that. I think it's just people get confused with the name Victoriano. That's what they think, but that's not a...
Oh, someday I'll have to ask your wife, Maureen, what she saw in you. I'm sure it was the exotic look that you have.
Well, Nathan, my voice put me at six feet 2 inches, but when you look at, but when people see us, we're a lot shorter, right?
Are there any Dominicans that are over 6 feet tall?
Actually, yeah, Nathan, my son, he's already like 6'2".
That's right. He is a very tall guy. Or does he get that from your wife's side of the family?
Actually, my dad was pretty tall. I'm just a little shorter, but my dad was a little tall. And so I want to say from both sides of the family.
Okay. Well, folks, we're sharing a bit just so you get to know us better. So Vic is short and all his relatives are tall. There you go.
And if you want to find out more about Nathan and I, Nate, will you be able to share with them how they can get a hold of our resources?
Absolutely. Well, folks, we invite you to visit our website at christinprophecy.org. Lamb and Lion Ministries is a Bible prophecy teaching ministry, and our mission is to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ. So come to christinprophecy.org or download the Lamb Lion app. Of course, we'd love to have you join our social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, now X, even Pinterest, Instagram, and we just invite you to join us in our study of God's prophetic word.
Awesome. Thank you, Nathan. And of course, you made a good point, Nathan. X used to Twitter, now is X. So sometimes people get it confused because they are changing their logo. But again, another great platform to get our resources.
Absolutely. Yeah, we want to, people connect differently. There's so many different medias. That's one of the reasons our ministry moved into radio recently. And people are like, wow, you know, radio is going to be gone one day. Well, it's not. There's a huge audience for radio. And so we now have Christ in Prophecy Radio along with our Christ in Prophecy television program. And of course, the podcast here, The Truth Will Set You Free. So we just rejoice all of you if you've joined us through either Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or directly through our website at christinprophecy.org and our RSS feed. We welcome you. Even if you're connecting with us on pray.com, let us know. Contact us at through our website at christinprophecy.org and let us know how you connected with us. We'd love to know what platforms out there are really vibrating with people, I guess you say, resonating with people. And so, yeah, please do.
Oh, that is fantastic. Thanks, Nate, for sharing those resources. And thank you all for tuning into our podcast. We have been talking about the Millennium Kingdom, details of the life in the Millennium. And Nathan, we've talked about things that people were not even aware of regarding the millennium, how long people are going to live, the peace that they're going to experience there, how we're going to be in our glorified bodies, and there will be people in natural bodies. Those kind of details that are very important, and also is an event that could really take place in not so far future. Right, Nate?
Absolutely. I mean, when the return of Jesus Christ, he gave us many signs. You can read them, especially in Matthew 24, Luke 21, that would increase in frequency and intensity the closer we got to his return. Those include false prophets, earthquakes, famines, pestilence, great signs in the sky, great social upheaval, the whole world being against Israel, the persecution of Christians, and so on. They've always been here, but they're going to get worse and worse as we get close to the Lord's return. And I think you have to be blind not to see the fact that these are increasing, especially natural disasters. The Lord's shaking and waking us up, saying, repent now before I come back. And if that means that the Lord is coming back soon and Israel's a nation again, that's the super sign. He said the generation that sees Israel return as a nation is that time period, that era, the genea of when he will return. And we're living in that now. That means that his kingdom could be coming just around the corner.
Oh, that is so exciting, Nathan. And not only that, not only the coming kingdom, but what we're going to experience in the kingdom, what life is going to be like. But not only that, but Jesus himself, Nathan, will be king, will be ruling. The Messiah will reign in that time period, which is an amazing thing. According to Daniel chapter 2, verses 44 through 45, it says that the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, and it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And that's the kingdom, right, Nate, that we're talking about?
Right. It's actually called the Davidic kingdom. Now, this is where it gets a little confusing, so let me explain, is that we believe that Jesus will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Why 1,000 years? Because Revelation 20 says six times that that will be 1,000 years. So that's pretty obvious. But those who interpret the Bible spiritually, they spiritualize the Bible, are called amillennialists. In other words, no 1,000 years. And they assume that the church age we're living in now is the kingdom of Christ. But is it? Well, there's a Puritan pastor named Cotton Mather, who I think he understood these prophecies concerning the kingdom of Christ when he said that there is a fourfold kingdom of Christ. The threefold kingdom with a fourth yet to come is what he said. He said there is a spiritual kingdom wherein his, the Lord's word and grace rule over the consciousness of men. And that's true. There is a spiritual kingdom. And a lot of people stop there and say, yes, that's the kingdom. Others will then add, well, it's also a providential kingdom wherein he governs all the affairs and the motions of the world. Yes, God is sovereign. That's true. But amillennialists will say that this ecclesiastical kingdom, wherein he appoints and prospers the ordinance of the church state, is the prophesied kingdom. But that's not true at all, because that ignores all the promises the Lord made through what's called the Davidic kingdom, which belongs unto our Lord Jesus Christ. You can find that in 2 Samuel 7, where God promises David, he says, I will set up your seed after you, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom, his singular, forever. So Nathan spoke to David. So this is not a symbolic kingdom that's fulfilled in the church age. There's another phase, a fourth fold, as Cotton taught, to this kingdom. And that's the kingdom where Jesus will rule physically on this earth, and Revelation 20 adds, for 1,000 years.
Nathan, and I love that. And of course, that 1,000-year period, like we mentioned, is we find that in the book of Revelation a number of times that is mentioned there. And it's actually literal. And that's why we take the Bible literal, right, Nathan? We don't spiritualize anything. If that's what the Bible says, that's what it is. And I know there's people out there that they try to spiritualize certain things to make it more formatted what they wanted to say. But we have to stick with the Word of God. And that's what brings us peace. And that's what brings us hope, knowing that someday we're going to be living with the Messiah. He's going to reign over this earth. And once Jesus destroys Satan's rule of the earth through human government, he will then set up his own kingdom here on this earth, as we just talked about, and it will never pass away. And, you know, when you think of it, what nation has survived the test of time? But Jesus' kingdom will stand forever, Nathan, and that's the wonderful thing.
That's an excellent point, Vic. And again, what we just read here in Daniel 2 isn't the only passage. There's, matter of fact, the second coming of Christ. There are 500 general prophecies in the Old Testament, and 1 in 25 verses in the New Testament prophesy the return of Jesus Christ to set up his kingdom. You can go to Zechariah 14:9, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Is the Lord king over the earth now? Well, if there was, there wouldn't be crime and violence and sickness and plagues. It wouldn't exist. So the Lord has yet to take up his throne on this earth. We can read Psalm 22, 27 through 31. For the kingdom is the Lord, and he rules over the nations. Or, Vic, you're familiar with this Christmas verse, Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David, there's the key there, and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from the time forward, even forevermore. So this part of the prophecy is that Jesus was born, at, you know, the first coming, but he has yet to take up authority and rule directly over this world. So this prophecy is very prolific in the Bible that Jesus' kingdom will also be on this earth.
Oh, and not only that, Nathan, but this famous Christmas passage reveals the character of the king and his kingdom. The one who sits on the throne of David is characterized by underlined. And we see also passages like Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 5. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Nathan, I mean, you and I spoke about this earlier. Can you imagine being at a conference where Jesus is the main speaker, filled with the Spirit of wisdom and understanding? You and I today, we try to understand things by looking up on concordances and Bible dictionaries and Bible commentaries, but Jesus is all-knowing, and how amazing that's going to be.
I mean, he's the source, right? He's the source of wisdom, the source of knowledge. You want to be wise and knowledgeable, you go to Jesus Christ. And Vic, I love what you said here about the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and fear of the Lord. In other words, respect for the Lord. Do we see that in human government today? If the Lord is really ruling over this earth, then why are our political officials so incompetent? I mean, why do we have two geriatrics running for president against each other? You know, why do we have evil men like Putin and the leaders of Hamas and other places, you know, causing so much trouble in the world? Is the world under the rulership of Jesus Christ? Well, the church is, but not the nations of the world. And that's the promise of the millennial kingdom, where Jesus will come back, defeat the human-led nations of the world, and set up his kingdom, where he's king over the world, and his glorified followers, that's us, will rule and reign in the positions of government over those who enter the millennial kingdom in their earthly bodies.
Nathan, you made such a good point. It's definitely, I believe that the hand of God is somewhat still over our nation because of the Christians that are here praying and making a difference. Because when you look at our government and those that are in leadership, we should have been doomed a long time ago if it weren't for the Holy Spirit and the Christians that are in prayer. Because I tell you, Nathan, it really is scary when you look at what we call the leadership that's going to be leading us in the future.
Oh, it's just terrible. I mean, the world is, for thousands of years, has been limping on. We get some good leaders. You get your George Washingtons and your Abraham Lincolns throughout history. Yeah. But, you know, they're a small minority. For more often, you get your Joe Bidens and your Jimmy Carters, or even worse, you know, your Ortegas and your Stalins and, oh, even worse, your Hitlers and your Maos. I mean, you go from the spectrum of beneficial leaders to outright monsters. That is not what is meant for the kingdom of Christ. What's meant for the kingdom of Christ is the perfect Jesus Christ ruling with a perfect government, because everybody in their glorified sinless bodies are the people in charge. And it's only the people entering in their human bodies, they will still be sinful, but not to the extent they are today.
Yeah, and Nathan, the good news is that people need to recognize we don't need to settle for second best. There's some wonderful things about this earth. There's some wonderful things that we can enjoy, but nothing compares to what's in the future for us. And the more that individuals learn about the millennium, know about what awaits them, the more exciting and hopeful I think they will be. Because if there's one thing that's lacking, Nathan, in our nation right now, in the hearts and in the eyes of people, is hope. Everywhere you turn, you see the hopelessness in people. And we are here to encourage you and offer you hope, to let you know that there is hope in Christ Jesus. You're tuned into the Truth Will Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. Again, we're talking about the wonderful millennium, King Jesus ruling and reigning in the millennium. So Nathan, it's also hope, and that's what the millennium brings.
It does. I love Isaiah 42, 3 through 5. It says, "He, Jesus, will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastland shall wait for his law." Now, looking at today, do we see justice all over the earth? Do we see that justice fills the earth and the coastlands are waiting to hear the law of Jesus? You know, right now, take, for instance, Pastor Jack Hibbs recently did a prayer before the Congress, and it was just 2 minutes long, but he called upon the name of Jesus and for repentance for our nation. Immediately, 30 congressmen and senators, including Chuck Schumer, wrote a letter of dissent, and now they want the IRS to take away Jack Hibbs Church, Chino Hills, IRS nonprofit status. I mean, they openly reject the law of God, but during the kingdom of Christ, the people will eagerly anticipate his law because it's a law of righteousness.
Yeah, Nathan, that is so unfortunate. And it goes to show the attack on the churches today and on pastors and leaders who are willing to stand up for what is true. I know Franklin Graham the same way. He was always under a lot of heat and still is, just because he prays in the name of Jesus. I mean, wasn't our country supposedly founded on the word of God? And why would this be a problem? But we're seeing a satanic onslaught on those that are standing. So we pray for Jack, and we pray for the church, and we pray that God will bring justice in this situation. And Nathan, we noticed that the defining characteristics of the kingdom will be justice. Isaiah 33, verses 20 through 22 says, "Look upon Zion, the city of our appointed feast. Your eyes will see Jesus there, and the majestic Lord will be." And we can't wait for that to happen.
Yeah, just correction, the eyes will see Jerusalem, but that's, like you said, where Jesus will be. Jesus' seat of authority, he will rule and reign from Jerusalem. Now, the satanic world knows these prophecies, and they know that Jesus will come and set up his kingdom in Jerusalem. So that's why the entire world is focused on Jerusalem. I mean, you and I have been to Jerusalem. It's no great shakes. You know, it's a little semi-desert capital. It's got some nice buildings and a lot of history. But, you know, it's not like Rome or London or New York. I mean, it lacks any of that impressiveness. And yet the whole world is obsessed with controlling Jerusalem. I mean, we hear it all the time. The UN wants Jerusalem. The Vatican wants Jerusalem. The West wants to control it. The East wants to control it. Everybody but wants to control it, but letting the Jews, which is their capital, control it. And yet that's where the Lord will be. The seat of authority on this planet will be in Jerusalem one day.
Oh, Nathan, that is so exciting. And yeah, we encourage people, hey, if you have not made that as part of your bucket list while there is still time, we think it's worth the investment of going to Israel at least once. Right, Nathan? We oftentimes say that one trip to Israel is like going to seminary for a whole year. So it's just really an amazing thing when you're able to open your Bible and walk through those places that you're reading and just see history unfold right before your eyes. And Nathan, you guys, well, actually not you guys, but our ministry here, Lamb Lion Ministry, has a pilgrimage every year where people have the opportunity to go and experience this.
We have two scheduled for this year. There's the Battle for Israel pilgrimage led by our director, Tim Moore. That happens on June 22nd through July 30th. It's probably we're getting real close to Israel letting us know if we're going to be able to go on that one. You know, obviously with the war with Hamas and possibly spilling over to Hezbollah up north in Lebanon might stop the pilgrimages. There are some pilgrimages. I heard it from the Israeli tourists, the tourism, I don't know what you call it, council, that they are allowing groups in. Unfortunately, so many people are now in the military, there's not a lot of services. So it makes it very difficult to go. We'll see if that trip will be on or not, but we definitely have another one scheduled, the Footsteps of Jesus Tour, and that's November 9th through 20th. And so hopefully things will settle down a little. If not, we're in prophetic times, but if things do settle, then we have these two tours, and you can find out more about our website. Go to christandprophecy.org under events, and we have the two tours listed there. We'd love to have you join our ministry, and you know, going to Israel, Vic, really helps make the Bible come alive, right? It makes it go in technicolor because the things you read in the Bible, you're actually standing in the places where they happened.
Nathan, it is. It's really right now. We back in the days we have color TV, then we went to HD, then 4K. Now we have almost 12K. But when you go to Israel, you see it in 25K. No, but it's surreal, right, Nathan, when you're standing there.
It is, because it's not only the wealth of history that overloads me, at least when I'm there, but it's all the prophecies that we've been reading that still have yet to be fulfilled. Do you know that one day the Antichrist will come and desecrate the temple that the Jewish people are going to one day build the temple on the Temple Mount again? Prophecy says so. And the Antichrist will desecrate it. The Jewish people will flee out of Jerusalem and be protected in the wilderness for 3.5 years. And Jesus will return to Jerusalem. And he will, when he lands back on earth, it'll be on the Mount of Olives. And the strength of his landing will split the mountain too. And it'll create a big valley that the Jewish people can escape to him and find safety. Well, that's the same place where the Lord will defeat the Antichrist and false prophet. Satan will be defeated and sent into a pit, and that's where the Lord will establish his kingdom right there from Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be rebuilt bigger and better than ever, and it'll be an absolutely amazing place, and the world will stream to Jerusalem to see Jesus, to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, to hear him teach from Jerusalem. So that's why Jerusalem is so amazing to me. It's of course, the history, but the future, the promises that are going to happen there are even more amazing.
Oh, Nathan, speaking of teaching, Micah 4, verses 1 through 3 says, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God, the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his path. For out of Zion the Lord shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem," not from Wikipedia, not from Google, but from Jerusalem, "he shall judge between many people and rebuke strong nations afar off." I love that passage, Nate.
Yes, and that's why some theologians believe that Jerusalem will be lifted up above all the other nations. Now, the verse seems to assert that it's in esteem it's lifted up, but because there's so much activity that's going to happen, geologic activity, great upheavals during the tribulation, that Jerusalem itself might be higher than the other mountains. There's going to be 4 major earthquakes during the tribulation that are so severe. 2 of them are said to level the mountains and move the islands. And so it could well be that Jerusalem will stand above all the other hills. It will be the highest place on the earth, not so high you can't breathe like Everest, but it will be high both in geographically, but also in being esteemed.
Nathan, you know, that is so important, but also just as important, it says, the Lord, he will teach us his ways. And then it says, and we shall walk in his path. One of the challenges that the church has today is that they listen to a lot of teachings and listen to a lot of sermons, but they lack application. They lack the walking in the path. But the Bible says in the millennium, we will be able to listen and be taught and walk in his ways, because our bodies will be changed, Nathan, right? We're going to be in glorified bodies. people will be able to respond to the words of the Lord, and the Holy Spirit is going to strengthen them to walk in His path. And to me, I think that's so exciting.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the world is going to hang on Jesus' every word. Right now, the name of Jesus is a curse word. People hate the law. They try everything they can to get rid of God's moral law. But in Isaiah 52:13-15 says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Kings shall shut their mouths at him." You know, that is complete 180 from the way people treat Jesus today, right?
Oh, Nathan, absolutely. You know, it's funny how people say, why must we always use that? Why is the name of Jesus always used as a curse word? Nobody ever stubs their toe and says, "Oh, Buddha," or "Oh, Krishna." Why do they always say, "Oh," you know, and they always use the name of the Lord in vain? And how wonderful it is to know that in the time of the millennium, Nathan, there's going to be this purity of speech, and God is going to be exalted. I'm so excited for that.
Yeah, and to add to that, Daniel 7:13-14, "Then to him," Jesus, "was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed." So here we got again and again, it says that Christ's kingdom, or the kingdom of Christ, will be an everlasting kingdom. And yet you and I said, "Oh, this will be 1,000 years. Well, the first phase of Christ's everlasting kingdom will be just 1,000 years, that's for sure. But it will go on into the eternal state, which will last forever and ever. So when Jesus defeats human government and set up his kingdom, no more will there ever be human government. There will be only the Messiah-led government, and it will last beyond that 1,000 years into all of eternity.
Nathan, I love that. And if anybody believes that they can overthrow the kingdom of Christ, they're woefully deluded. But more on that later as we, of course, continue in this amazing passages through the book, talking about the millennium. And that's why our encouragement to those of you that are part of this program is, again, there's so much that the Bible has to say or says about the millennium. Jesus is going to rule and reign as king. He's going to teach us. He's going to instruct us. The Holy Spirit helping us to walk in his ways. And all that is promised, again, for those that have a relationship with him, who come to the Lord now. And if that's you and you haven't stepped over and made that decision to wholeheartedly follow the Lord, we want to give you an opportunity to do that, because we believe the time is short. We're not promised tomorrow, but you have today. So we want to encourage you to come to Christ while there is still time. And Nathan, maybe there is someone who's still hanging by the thread of hope. They want to know more about God. They're wrestling. They're on the fence. Will you be able to share with them how they can finally jump over and make the decision, and how they can go about doing that?
Well, we first need to realize, as Romans 3:23 teaches, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In other words, we're all sinners. We're all in rebellion. We're born in rebellion against God. But as Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but," and here's the big but, "the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Well, how does that work? Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Isn't that amazing? Christ died for us. So as Romans 10:9-10 teaches, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you are believe and are justified, it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So once that happens, as 2 Corinthians 5:21 teaches, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And that's the key to eternal life, becoming that righteousness of God. We can't do it on our own. We can't work our way to heaven. It is only the work that Jesus did on the cross, and by beating death, resurrected from the dead, can we find salvation from sin and our eternal punishment in hell. If you're ready, and you don't know Jesus as your Savior yet, listen to the pull of the Holy Spirit in your heart. Pray, "Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I've lived in rebellion against you. Please forgive me. I love you, and I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life." And when you make that heartfelt prayer, the Lord will change your life. He will forgive you of your sins. The guilt will be washed away, and you will inherit eternal life with him forever.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Nate, for sharing that. Nate, and I really believe that there's someone out there who just prayed that prayer and meant it from their heart. And if that was you, we would love for you to reach out to us and let us know that you pray that prayer. We would love to give you a Bible and a Bible study guide so that you can follow along with us. Our phone number is 305-992-9537. You can call or text, or you can email Nathan Jones as well at webministeralamblion.com. And we would love to just start send you more resources so that you can continue to grow in your relationship with the Lord. And we thank you for tuning in and being part of our program. So Nathan, that's why we get so excited about this, when we hear back from people and they give us feedback and say, hey, I've decided to follow Jesus.
Yes, yes, please do. Let us know if this is the beginning of your walk with Jesus Christ. Again, ChristInProphecy.org has a wealth of information to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. And of course, we thank you all for being part of our program. We ran out of time for this segment of the program. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones saying goodbye. May the Lord bless and keep you. May his face shine upon you. We hope you have a fantastic week. And tune in to our next programs in the near future. Have a great day.
Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.